Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the 700 WLW Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati Orange and Black Preview.
They're going to be studying that all three of these games just like we are. And we're going to have to be ready for anything.
Pella Windows and Doors. Pella now. Pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. Now your host, Ken Brew, on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
Wait a minute. There's a football game tomorrow? What time? There's a game tomorrow? Welcome on in. Yeah, I'm on an hour early. What are you going to do? It's that kind of weekend. It's the Bengals playing in their second straight AFC championship game, looking for their second straight trip to the Super Bowl. And it all plays out in Arrowhead Stadium. There is so much trash flying back and forth. It's unbelievable right now. But I think the Bengals are playing it smart. You save that kind of stuff for the field. We've heard a couple of comments from Kansas City, but it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going to transpire tomorrow at 6:30 in the evening. Not what the mayor said, not what Mike Hilton said last week, not what the Kansas City players may or may not have said. None of that has anything to do with whether or not Patrick Mahomes' ankle is going to be healthy enough for him to play at a high level tomorrow. None of that has nothing to do with whether or not Joe Mixon can deliver the same kind of game he delivered last week. None of that has anything to do with the way that game's going to play out tomorrow. It's fun. There is some nonsense, but it is fun. And we welcome you on in because that's why we're here. Remember, we are all here to have fun. It is a big weekend, obviously. It's a big weekend in four cities, the four teams that are left chasing a Super Bowl title. It's a huge day tomorrow for Cincinnati. There's no question about it. If you were to tell somebody 5 years ago that the Bengals would be going to back-to-back AFC championship games with a chance to go to back-to-back Super Bowls, with a chance to win a Super Bowl, people would have looked at you like you were nuts. You were absolutely nuts. It was right around the same time that John Ross flamed out, that Billy Price flamed out, that Marvin Lewis got fired, that Ryan Finley quarterbacked three games for the Bengals in 2019. It was all that leading to this. It all started, really, with number nine. And here we are. Here we are. And you got to enjoy the ride. You just got to enjoy it. The outcome is out of your control. The ride is what you have to enjoy right now. And that's what we're going to do here. We're just going to enjoy this ride. We're going to enjoy this ride. Because we don't get this ride often. The Reds certainly aren't giving it to us. It coughs and it sputters with our college football and basketball teams. And with the Bengals, it's been a hell of a ride over the last couple of years. Just enjoy the ride. Because you don't know when it's going to come around again. You may be old enough to remember the heartbreak in Detroit, Pontiac to be actual, when everybody thought, well, there's a team built for really a nice long run. You might have remembered the touchdown pass to John Taylor near Fort Lauderdale, where the Dolphins call home against the 49ers in January of 89. You look at that team and you said, that team is built for another run just like this. It didn't happen. It rarely happens. It's happening again. So this is a ride that's unprecedented in the history of this franchise. And we could go up and down the pedigree of why it's that way and why we had the lost generation and why we had this. The fact of the matter is it's here. And that's what you've got, I think, extract from life. Not just what is going on in sports, but anything in life. Really, just enjoy the live in the moment. Live in the moment. And that's what we're trying to do. Despite what's flying around in the media, on shows like this, got to live in the moment. Somebody that lives in the moment standing by to join me right now If you listen to my show on Sunday, you know that I like the national view because we get enough local voices on the various radio shows that are done throughout the week here in Cincinnati. Those guys are fine. They have platforms on ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW. I, along the way, through my almost 47 years in broadcasting, have made a lot of friends and a lot of acquaintances that have become friends and people that I trust to give me an honest view of what's going on. And one of those people is standing by to join us right now. When I was in Washington, D.C., I was there for about 4 years. I got to know the folks at USA Today. There's some great writers that have come and gone. Some still remain at USA Today that on a daily basis cover sports, in this case, cover football, just about better than everyone else. And when I was out there in the mid to late 90s, I got to know Nate Davis. Nate Davis served this country. He was in uniform. He went to battle for this country and then crafted a career in sports journalism. And he's somebody whose opinion I trust for a number of different reasons. And I wanted to have him on this show today to kick off what we're doing right now, because I think he has great insight when it comes to the NFL, in particular to what we have right now, which are four teams still standing for a Super Bowl title. Nate Davis, how are you on this glorious Saturday?
Doing well, Ken. Thanks for having me. You know, looking forward to these final four games, like you said, and then we'll get to find out who's going to Super Bowl 57 today. So it should be a fun day.
You made a list the other day in USA Today about the 32 things we learned from the divisional round, and at the top of the list was this whole thing about Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the NFL was going to move the AFC Championship game if Buffalo and Kansas City met each other. The Bengals have been using that kind of as a disrespect mode, kind of as a motivation, I guess. It's getting a lot of play here in Cincinnati. The NFL had to do business. They chose to do business that way. I'm not quite convinced that it was the best course to do business, but selling tickets in advance, they had to do that business before that game last Sunday, or it would have been mass chaos. Am I right?
Yeah, you are, Ren. Sorry, Ken, but they had a lot of logistics to figure out in a short period of time for a situation that obviously was very unanticipated. The unfortunate thing with Lamar Hamlin happened in week 17, and you know, the league doesn't have a whole lot of time to figure out, you know, how do we legislate, you know, the playoffs in the most fair way to the parties affected. I would say, though, that I kind of agree that they kind of catered most to Kansas City and Buffalo. You know, the league had a conference call a couple of days after DeMar Hamlin's collapse, and I kind of asked, you know, why wasn't there a neutral site scenario, for a Bengals-Bills playoff game? Because if the Bengals had won that game, you know, that game would have been at Cincinnati, not in Buffalo.
Sure.
And they said they talked about it and considered it, but since the Bills and the Bengals wound up playing the same number of games, which was similar to the Bills and the Chiefs, that they felt like, that game should be in Buffalo. And also that game obviously occurred with less lead-up time than the AFC Championship game would have. But long way of saying, you can kind of understand, I think, why the Bengals feel like they got a little bit of a short shrift, even though that they were certainly part of a situation like the Bills and the Chiefs that was well beyond their control.
Well, here we are again, Bengals in Kansas City. This will be the fourth time inside of 13 months. The Bengals have beaten Kansas City the last three times. Certainly, Patrick Mahomes' health is a major issue leading into this game. But it seems to me like maybe the Bengals are living rent-free in Kansas City's heads right now. I mean, regardless of the talent matchup, and we can analyze every single position if we want, there's the psychological end of this that I think that really plays in Cincinnati's favor. You know, the Chiefs may say, well, odds will catch up with Cincinnati at some point. The Bengals look like a team that have been defying odds since last season. They're kind of in Kansas City's heads at this point, are they not?
I think that's a little bit true. You know, Joe Burrow is the only quarterback that started his career 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes. And I think the Bengals have kind of used that disrespect card to some degree successfully. I mean, certainly successfully against the Chiefs. Obviously won the game, you know, a year ago at Arrowhead. And I think they enjoy, you know, going on the road. And I think that kind of plays into, you know, the swagger of a guy like Joe Burrow. You know, Joe Mixon seems to kind of embrace this kind of stuff. So, you know, they're not certainly going to be afraid going into Arrowhead Stadium. I think the Chiefs are favored by 1 or 2 points today. I mean, so that almost tells you that the Bengals are a favorite in some ways. You noted Patrick Mahomes, health. But, I mean, on the flip side of the coin, too, you also look at the fact that, you know, all these three of these Bengal wins over the Chiefs have been by 3 points. So it's not like they're beating them by three touchdowns or anything. Patrick Mahomes probably had the worst half of his playoff career, in the second half of last year's title game. He had the two interceptions after halftime, and, you know, they didn't get the job done in overtime. That first game where they played, you know, that Zach Taylor, if you think back, made a couple of bizarre calls, you know, on first and goal from the one, and then the Chiefs ended up bailing him out with a penalty, and, you know, they win that game with no time on the clock. But they may be living rent free up there a little bit, Ken, but I also think that it would not be very hard to evict them either.
As we mentioned, it's an overriding storyline. I mean, the Bengals are going for their fourth win in 13 months over this team. If you're Steve Spagnuolo, if you're coaching that Kansas City defense right now, what are you doing? This team has had his number defensively for a very long time. What would you do if you were him?
Well, I mean, I haven't studied, you know, what their defensive game plans have been the last couple of years. I mean, I know in that first game that Joe threw for 446 yards, I want to say, and four mm-hmm. touchdowns.
Yes, he did.
That obviously didn't work. They were more, more modest numbers in the title game last year. I think it was like 280 and a couple touchdowns or whatever. But, you know, the Bengals, you know, present such a picture poison kind of offense with you know, having Joe Mixon and then having, you know, all the capable wide receivers that they do. You know, we saw the impact that Hayden Hurst had last week. So I think if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you don't want to overcomplicate it, but I think you have to give yourself some options, because if you're going to try to blitz Joe Burrow, I think he can beat it, and he's got all these weapons at his disposal, and you don't want to have guys like Jamar Chase, you know, running free and run after catch situations. Right. But, you know, we also kind of saw how well, despite having all the starters out, how dominant this Cincinnati offensive line looks against Buffalo. I mean, Jackson Carmen looks very comfortable at left tackle. And if these guys are going to be able to hold up again next week and give Joe Burrow time, I mean, that could be an equally, bad situation to put this defense in. And, frankly, the best option for Kansas City may be that this new offense they have is more kind of ball control than it was with Tyreek Hill. And then they're able to kind of dominate the clock a little more. They seem to be a little bit more willing to run the ball. That may be the best thing they have going for them, assuming Patrick Mahomes is healthy enough in terms of being able to keep the ball away from Joe Burrow.
Well, and that may be it, because what Cincinnati, as you well know, did against Buffalo last week, besides, you know, plays terrific defense, I mean, they ran the ball. They used a depleted offensive line and basically just shoved it down the Bills' defense's collective throats. If I'm Kansas City and I'm looking at ways to do things differently, particularly on offense, and I've got Isaiah Pacheco, maybe I just, what a lot of teams have tried to do to Cincinnati and failed, maybe they can do it, is just control the clock and keep that offense on the far sideline. That may be the best option offensively to help their defense.
I think it might be. It's kind of what they did against Jacksonville. I want to say that they ran for about 144 yards last against Jacksonville. Isaiah Pacheco getting 95 of it, but it wasn't like, you know, he had the one big run, but I think it was a little bit more of that 3 yards in the cloud of dust approach that, you know, historically hasn't been what Andy Reid wants to do, but it worked against Jacksonville. I mean, you know, I think that game was probably not as close as the 27-20 final score, but I think if they can replicate that and obviously get their shots in with Travis Kelce, and, you know, that was another thing, you know, I didn't mention, is Travis Kelce kind of having that fourth quarter fumble in the last game. Yeah. This is something you're going to see him do on most occasions. Again, I think the margin for error for both teams is pretty small. This should be a close game. But I agree with you, Ken, as we're kind of talking this out, I think that the best approach for Steve Spagnuolo is to have his defensive player standing right there next to him on the sideline.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. It really will. Strategies at a premium this weekend. Nate Davis, USA Today, read him right now online, but I think Nate would prefer if you just, you know, buy the paper. Just buy the paper. Nate, thanks again. We'll visit down the road, maybe close to the Super Bowl, if the Bengals are indeed successful in this game. Thanks.
All right. Always good catching up with you, Ken. Thank you.
Guy knows his football inside out. Really does. Everybody's saying close game. I'm not ready to walk down that road yet. I'm not ready to walk down that road yet. I may be, and whether or not it's important that I walk down that road, well, maybe only to me. It is 11:22. It is the Pella Window and Doors of Greater Cincinnati Orange and Black Playoff Preview. Pella, now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details on 700 WLW.
People have always craved entertainment. In the 1930s, audiences would pack theaters to see film shorts of Alexander the Great, an aerial daredevil. He made 99 thrilling films. It would have been 100, but he neglected to check his fuel gauge. Today, we have something better, Eddie and Rocky. They're very entertaining without all the dangerous daredevil stuff.
Eddie and Rocky.
Monday afternoon at 3
on 700 WLW.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner. And then
an acoustic guitar. I didn't know what was going on there. It's the Orange and Black playoff preview. It is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. We welcome them in as a sponsor of this program. All right, so look, the last three times the Bengals played the Chiefs, three-point games, right? AFC champion, I'll just take the last two. AFC championship game last year goes to overtime. Remember that? Sure you do. 27-24 Bengals. 5 seconds to go before the half. Chiefs had the ball on the Bengals won. Patrick Mahomes convinces his head coach, Andy Reid, to go for it. Touchdown instead of a field goal. And the play was stopped for a loss by Eli Apple. Time runs out. Cincinnati down only 11 at the half. Could have been down by 14 had the touchdown worked out. Could have been down by 18. Only down by 11. We all know what happens in the second half. Bengals outscore Kansas City 14-3. Game goes to overtime. Kansas City gets the ball first. Von Bell interception. Joe Burrow then leads a drive that ends in an Evan McPherson walk-off field goal. In the game, that was in the AFC Championship game on January the 30th. On January the 2nd of last year, that was a 34-31 Cincinnati win. 34-31. And then we go to what transpired at Paycor Stadium back on December the 4th, 27-24, Cincinnati. That was a game that really spun off a Travis Kelce fumble after a reception. And the Bengals wound up winning that game. And they're 3-0 in their last three against Kansas City. And so last week, after the Bengals had pretty much beaten down the Bills, game still in progress, a camera is behind the Cincinnati bench, and Mike Hilton says to the camera, "See you in Burrowhead next week." Burrowhead. Play off Arrowhead Stadium. Burrowhead. Well, that got to the Chiefs. I mean, we live in an era of just instantaneous access. And Chris Jones... Chris Jones is a terrific defensive lineman for Kansas City. Chris Jones hasn't had a sack in his career in the postseason and was pretty much handled by the Bengals in all three of those games. Chris Jones reacting to the whole Burrowhead thing. This was at a news conference in Kansas City earlier this week.
Listen, God is good, man. It's like a full 360, right? Same thing, same circumstances under Burrowhead Stadium, so... feeling good about it.
Did you just say Burrowhead Stadium?
Yeah, Burrowhead Stadium, right? Yeah.
All right, so there's Chris Jones. Pretty benign. What Hilton said was pretty benign. So Jones reacts that way. That, of course, blows up in the Kansas City market. We get wind of it out here. So the Chiefs are having a little bit of fun with it. But then the media gravitates into the Kansas City locker room. And Willie Gay is a terrific linebacker. Their whole team is terrific. The front seven is very good. Their secondary is a little suspect. Their offense is terrific.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Patrick Mahomes at 70% is better than 98% of the quarterbacks in the NFL. But Willie Gay's a linebacker, and there was a clip of what he said when someone asked him, what impresses you about the Bengals offense? And he says, nothing. Now, the clip, you listen, I'm going to play the entire text of the, so you don't take this out of context. I'm going to play the entire text of the soundbite so you hear exactly what the guy says. So here is Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay.
I'm just excited to be playing football, man. That stuff is just what comes with the game. You know, we, like Coach Reed said, we don't do no talking. We just go handle business when it's time to go.
What is it about that Bengals offense that maybe impresses you the most? You played them a few times?
Nothing.
Okay.
Right. What do you got to do personally, you think, to go out there and have your best game to help get the team to the Super Bowl?
Stop the run, for sure. You know, they're going to try to do that to, you know, act like they can big boy us, but front six, seven, we're going to definitely do our job and try to slow that down.
Okay, so the guy probably should have said, when the question was, what impresses you about that Cincinnati offense, if you've lost the last three times you've played against them, what you probably need to say is, yeah, they're good. We know they're good. We're getting ready for them because we know they're good. We really respect them. But he didn't say that. You know, most of these guys that play professional sports, at least in the history of me covering them and in the locker room, is they don't want to concede anything to the other guy. They'll grudgingly say, that was a great game by so-and-so. Or, you know, a pitcher might say, after he gives up a home run, well, you know, he got a hold of it, and I tipped my cap to him. But it's not like anybody is going to gush. So Willie Gay says that, and then it blows up. But I wanted you to hear what it was. It wasn't like it was a terse answer, and that was all he had to say. It was in the greater context of what he's talking about. Again, in the grand scheme of things, this thing's pretty benign, I think. It's pretty benign. So yesterday, the mayor of our town, Aftab Purival, weighed in on the game. Now, I don't know Aftab Purival. I don't think I've ever met the man. Couldn't tell you one thing about the kind of job he's doing. There doesn't seem to have been any big blow-ups under his watch, which is, I guess, just a little over a year old. And that's good. There doesn't seem to be any really big gaffes, or there doesn't seem to be the kind of scandal that had permeated City Hall in recent years. I mean, he just seems like a guy that, you know, he runs for a lot of offices, found one that he could get elected to. I think it was clerk of courts before he was elected mayor. He's run for some offices. He got elected to some. He didn't get elected to others. Thought his campaign with the Duck was fantastic. Should have kept the Duck. But he weighs in on this game. Now, this is what you would call an unforced error. Again, in the grand scheme of things, it's benign. If this were Catholicism, this would be a venial sin. It wouldn't be a mortal sin. But here's what he said yesterday under, you know, no one's urging except maybe somebody on his staff that thought, hey, this would be cute. Here he is.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game.
Yeah, bad, bad.
Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss.
Right.
Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test, confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know,
factually
kind of weird.
It's factually incorrect.
Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, he was trying to have fun with this. You give him a pass for that. Second of all, you don't question anybody's pedigree, even in fun. You don't do that. You just don't do it. And he's factually incorrect on Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City was there before the state of Kansas. The unorganized territory that would become Kansas was established as a territory in 1854. Kansas was then renamed Kansas City to, I guess, distance itself from this Kansas territory. The city of Kansas was incorporated 4 years before the territory was. But anyway, it was factually incorrect. But why do you do that? And it's not so much that, you know, he's fanning the flames, because anybody in the Chiefs locker room that needs any of this to get fired up to play a game at this point in the season has a problem. You're playing for the right to go win another Super Bowl if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, the mayor of Kansas City, a guy by the name of Quentin Lucas, it's on a newscast last night, one of the affiliates out there in Kansas City, and he had this response to what Aftab had to say.
What do you say to that?
You know, have you ever seen a moment where people are just like trying too hard? So he says Burrowhead, just crickets.
Anybody?
And he's like, no, really, that was funny. It's like your dad's joke from years ago. I mean, here's the thing. Every Cincinnatian that I've met became a Bengals fan like 18 months ago.
Ouch.
Right? We have been the most dedicated fan base in the league for years. So I welcome them here. I hope they spend lots of money, all of that. But, you know, just stop with it, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow is not Joe Montana. First of all, he needs a ring, which Patrick Mahomes already has.
Oh, there you go. So again, all of this is—I mean, when I saw it, I kind of cringed what Pierval said, because it started to make national news. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, people look at and make fun of who don't live here, and I think that this—you know—I don't ever want to see Cincinnati get embarrassed with anything. But it means nothing. It's just a bunch of nonsense. And in politics, I guess, which is largely a bunch of nonsense, you don't want unforced errors. And I just thought it was an unforced error. It was a venial sin. It wasn't a mortal sin. Joe Burrow on all the trash talking. He said this before the mayors went back and forth at each other, but here you go.
I think that's part of this game, part of being a competitor, whether it's football or basketball or baseball or any sport. You're gonna find anything, any little thing you can. Whether it helps or it doesn't, I know. Nobody in that locker room needs any more motivation than what's inside of them, and that's why we're so good. But whenever you can find some little thing externally, you might as well use it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it has nothing to do with how well Burrow plays. It has nothing to do with whether or not Patrick Mahomes' ankle can hold up through four quarters. But, you know, it's kind of degenerated, the back and forth. You go on Twitter, and it's degenerated into a lot of nonsense back and forth. Should you get wrapped up in it? No. Is it fun to watch? Yeah. So I said to begin this hour, you just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy it. All right, it's 11:51. Much more to come. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati Orange and Black playoff preview. Pella Windows, you know Pella, they've been around for a very long time. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. 700-WLW.
One skip from the Super Bowl.
Both feet down, touchdown!
Joe Burrow and his Big Bad Bengals head to Kansas City for another go-round with the Chiefs.
Bam! Bam! Bam!
The Bengals have beaten KC in their last three meetings. Will they do it a fourth time?
Maybe. Makes a tackle! Again! And runs it into the end zone!
It's the AFC Championship. The winner goes to Super Bowl 57.
Touchdown!
Bonus!
Bengals!
Woo! Dangerous Dan Hoard and Dave Leppin have the championship call. Coverage begins tomorrow morning at 9 on 700 WLW. The home of the best Bengals coverage.
The wait is over. Sports betting is finally here, Ohio. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today and visit Tipico.com/Ohio to score your early deposit bonus now. Tipico has fan favorite features, bets, and boosts created with Ohio's diehard sports fans in mind. Sign up now and get a deposit bonus, including a deposit match up to $1,000. Download Tipico Sportsbook now and visit Tipico.com/Ohio today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner in the National Football League, is official.
W. Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati, Orange and Black Preview.
They're going to be studying that all three of these games just like we are. You know, we're going to have to be ready for anything.
Pella Windows and Doors. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. Now your host, Ken Brew, on 700 WLW. The home of the best Bengals coverage.
1210, welcome back. I am the aforementioned Ken Brew. Great to have you with us as we count down. I mean, my goodness, we've been counting down for the last 48 hours, and we still have over 24 hours to go. I had Clark Judge from everywhere. He used to be a beat writer, cover the Baltimore Colts back in the day, cover the San Diego Chargers back in the day. He's written for CBS Sports. He has a terrific podcast that's out now, writes for the Pro Football Journal. But he said something interesting last week on my show about the Bengals before they were getting, before that Buffalo game last week. Listen to what he had to say.
Seems like we've kind of taken them for granted at this point, and not what Zach Taylor said is absolutely right. They're the defending AFC champions. So the roads don't go through Kansas City or Buffalo. They go through them. I understand the machinations, which allowed for the NFL to talk about that kind of game. But the fact of the matter is, Cincinnati is not to be taken for granted. It's not. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't even be surprised if Cincinnati won this game, because I think they do have something going right now. I mean, over the last, 16 weeks, everything but the first 2 weeks, to me, they've been the best team in the AFC. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, well, he wasn't shocked. They won that game last week. We'll see what happens tomorrow in Kansas City. What is Burrowhead? That's what Mike Hilton chirped last week in the winning minutes of that game against Buffalo, and it seems to have gotten a lot of traction, particularly in Kansas City. And it, as we mentioned in the last half hour, caught the ire of some of the Chiefs fans. But what is that all about? What does it really mean? And does it have any effect whatsoever? Bulletin board material. We hear that all the time. Oh, this is bulletin board material for this team. You know, you see that, the people that, you know, write about the team, talk about the team. Yeah, I think it might if, you know, you're 12. These guys are professional athletes. If you need bulletin board material to get juiced up for this game tomorrow, you have serious problems. You should choose another profession. It really, I mean, it should, it matters infinitely less than anything that has to do with whether or not Joe Mixon can run like he did last week, whether or not Joe Burrow can find Ja'Marr Chase, whether or not Brian Callahan can play and scheme Ja'Marr Chase the way he did last week in Buffalo. And it has nothing to do with whether or not Patrick Mahomes will be playing tomorrow on one leg or two legs. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the author of a story this week in SportingNews.com is getting set to join us. I've had Jacob Kamiker on my show several times. He writes good stuff. He really does. And he said, what is Burrowhead? I mean, what is that all about? Because Joe Burrow has won a grand total of one game at Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, how did this all get this kind of traction? Jacob Kamiker joins us now here on 700 WLW. Jacob, how are you on this glorious Saturday?
Doing very well, Ken. Thank you for having me on.
So this whole thing, I guess, started when Mike Hilton made a crack about it, and then I guess on a podcast, Travis Kelce made a crack about it. I just wonder about these things. These are professional athletes. They draw a check. This is the step before you go to the Super Bowl. I mean, do you really need this kind of bulletin board motivation at this point?
I don't know that you necessarily do. I think that the players try to use it as this type of bulletin board fuel. Like you said, Travis Kelce wasn't too happy about it on that podcast with his brother. So I think NFL players have this general feeling of when their team is disrespected, like the Bengals last week against the Bills is a great example. A lot of people thought the Bills were going to win that one not fairly easily at home, and the Bengals came out and crushed them and was like, hey, we just wanted to prove ourselves. We were doubted there. So I think the Chiefs might be taking this as a little bit of like, hey, the Bengals are saying they're better than us in our home stadium. So are they going to take it personally? Yes. Is that going to impact their performance on the field all that much, though? Maybe not. I think if anything, it would just give them that little extra edge, but I don't know how important it really is to this matchup overall.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there was obviously the regular season matchup, which the Bengals won by three. The previous three matchups have all been three-point Bengal wins. But you know, before that game, you had one of their defensive backs, Justin Reed, popping off about Ja'Marr Chase and some of the Bengal wide receivers, not knowing their names, confusing the name of a tight end on another. I mean, it was utter nonsense. The guy should have kept his mouth shut. And the Bengals said afterwards that was kind of motivation. This week, I guess it was Willie Gay, one of their linebackers, said that he was not impressed with anything on the Bengals offense. I mean, it smacks a little bit of juvenile thinking. I mean, this whole disrespect thing. I mean, I don't get it. Maybe I haven't been enough of an athlete in my time to understand it, but I think much more important than any disrespect or comments or anything anybody says is going to be whether or not Patrick Mahomes' ankle holds up in this game, right?
Absolutely. Mahomes' ankle is the number one thing impacting this matchup, because if he doesn't have that same mobility that he's had in other games, it's going to be a little easier for the Bengals to get pass rush pressure on him. Right. And they've already been good at that with Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard. They're very disciplined in how they attack him. So if he can't move and is more of a sitting duck, that's not to say he's going to have a bad game. He still has one of the best arms in the NFL. But he's not going to be able to be as escapable from that pocket and make those on-the-move plays. So that absolutely matters more than all this trash talk behind the scenes. It's a little bit for show, and just kind of, I think, the players use it to fire themselves up a little bit, to pull out a little more energy at this late point in the season. But again, I think the more important thing is the preparation, the health, and just how they match up with one another.
Yeah. Bengals have pretty much distanced themselves from anything that's going on verbally. I mean, and listen, this guy popping off about this, that guy popping off about that, it's not going to have an effect one way or the other, whether or not Patrick Mahomes' ankle is good enough to go at 100% in this game. Now, what do you think happens defensively with Kansas City? The last three games have all been Bengal wins. They've been close games, three-point games, every single one of them. Well, what do you think they do with, again, that offensive line still very much banged up, played well last week, but this is this week. What do you think the Chiefs try to do? Do you think they try to bring extra heat on Burrow, or do you think they try something else defensively in this game?
It's going to be so hard for them to figure this out, because Steve Spagnuolo's defense tends to blitz not at a higher rate than other teams in the NFL, but they're slightly above average in doing that, because their four-man pass rush is just okay. Chris Jones gets a lot of pressure. Frank Clark is very good, but outside of that, they kind of have to search for other production. But Joe Burrow, as you know, I'm sure, is very good against the blitz. So bringing extra pressure against him doesn't always work. So for them to win these matchups, they're going to probably have to put Chris Jones on the outside a little bit, have him win the one-on-ones with Jackson Carmen or Hakeem Adeniji, and just try to put more pressure on the team like that. But if they blitz, Joe Burrow is going to be able to find the opening in the defense quickly, get the ball into the likes of Ja'Marr Chase's hands. Yeah. And man, I think Chase could have a big game if that's Spagnuolo's plan.
Yeah. The thing I wonder also about in this game offensively for Cincinnati is that Chiefs secondary. You know, no disrespect to any of those guys, they're professional athletes, but it is a porous secondary. I mean, Trent McDuffie, Legarius Sneed, Juan Thornhill, Justin Reed. I mean, collectively, that's hardly the strength of that team. I got to believe that there's going to have to be some sort of exotic coverage that Steve Spagnuolo has got to come up with, because he just can't have the same philosophy that he's had in these last three games, or it's liable to be the same kind of outcome.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think the secondary is the weakest part of this Chiefs defense, and it's not a knock on the players there. They're all talented, but a lot of them are young. Trent McDuffie's a rookie. Jalen Watson, who's been playing a lot, is a seventh-round rookie, and he had a key interception against the Jaguars, but...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You know, quarters are prone to getting burned at any time, and when they go up against talented receivers, especially a duo like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, yeah, it is very hard to contain them. So I would think Spagnuolo would be looking to drop a lot of people into coverage this week and just try to pressure Burrow with those four men. I don't know that they're going to be able to do that, though. I think there may be a couple pieces short on defense just because the Cincinnati passing attack has so many different weapons. And we saw it last week. When you try to focus exclusively on eliminating the pass game, then their run game can get going too. So it's going to be a really difficult matchup for the Chiefs. I expect the Bengals to score a lot. So I think the only way that the Chiefs can stay in this game is if Patrick Mahomes outperforms expectations and really wins a shootout type game, which, as you've referenced, has not happened in their last three meetings.
Jacob Kamiker is our guest. You got a pick in the other game? It sounds like you're going Bengals in this one. What about the NFC?
I am going Bengals in this one. It's largely predicated on the matchups and Mahomes' injury. Yeah. NFC, I like the Eagles. I think that they match up very well with the 49ers. Both teams have extremely deep rosters. But the advantage I see is that Jalen Hurts has far more experience than Brock Purdy. And Purdy, though he has been excellent in his limited run as a starter this year, and especially considering that he was the last pick in the draft, I think the one problem he's going to see is he's going to get a lot of pressure from this Eagles team. The Eagles recorded, I believe, 70 sacks in the regular season and had four players with double-digit sacks. The 70 sacks were an NFL record, so it's going to be a lot harder for him to get the ball out and get the ball downfield. So, again, they'll have to resort to more quick passing. And I just think that if he has to process too quickly under pressure, we might finally see him make that rookie mistake and have that that crushing interception late that could really help the Eagles out. And I think we saw some signs of that against Dallas, but the Cowboys' offense couldn't quite do enough to beat the 49ers, nor could their defense get the key pick. So I like the Eagles to figure out how to win on offense and get that one key turnover.
Yeah, Bengals, Eagles in the Super Bowl. I'll take it. No problem. No questions asked. We'll see how it plays out. Jacob, thanks for your time, man. Stay well, and we'll visit down the road. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Ken. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Burrowhead. Okay, run with it. As long as you win tomorrow, run with it. It is 12:22. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati Saturday Orange and Black Preview. Boy, there's a mouthful. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindows.com for details. on 700 WLW.
It's a shootout in the Lone Star State.
Slam dunk, Bearcats.
UC's Ballin' Bearcats head to Texas for a conference showdown with Houston's Cougars.
Long three, and he nails it.
It's a marquee matchup, and we've got the call live.
Young fella, get your dunk on now.
Today at 1:45.
Got it. A perfect slam.
On 700 WLW and the 700 WLW live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
There's music tonight, and it will emanate from Little Miami Brewing in the heart of downtown historic Milford. Chad Applegate has the stage at 7 o'clock, and inside the brewery are some of the great craft beers on the planet. Great pizzas, great salads. How about this one? Cranberry California Common, ABV just 5%. A collaboration between Little Miami Brewers Jeff and Sam. Cranification is a cranberry California common brewed with Anchor Steam, California ale, yeast, and cranberries. Who doesn't like cranberries? It'll be a big night at Little Miami Brewing. It's one of my favorite places on the planet. Where is it? Right along the Little Miami River in the heart of downtown historic Milford.
Butler County veterans, it's time to get your veteran ID card and begin receiving special discounts at local Butler County businesses. There's no reason to wait. It's free and easy to obtain. Visit the Butler County Recorder's Office in downtown Hamilton, across from the historic courthouse, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and bring two forms of current, valid identification with at least one bearing your photograph. Protect your legacy while receiving discounts by getting your veteran ID card today. For more, visit bcvets.org.
What are platelets? Who can donate? And how is it used? These questions and more are answered in the podcast series, In the Know with Dr. O, presented by Hawksworth Blood Center, University of Cincinnati. In the Know with Dr. O podcast series answers all aspects of blood donation and transfusion medicine with Chief Medical Officer Dr. David O. Tune in and find out how you can make a life-saving difference in your community. Download In the Know with Dr. O on the iHeartRadio podcast.
Mark your calendars for January 28th at Miami Valley Gaming. It's your chance to play R200.
Apparently, there were people worked up about what exactly M&Ms were wearing. You know, the talking M&Ms in their commercials, you know, and I guess M&Ms changed shoes that some of the M&Ms were wearing and making them less, I suppose, feminine, more generic. And it really ticked off some people about what they were doing. Well, what they were doing was leading up to this some sort of big announcement they're going to have, apparently, at the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks. M&M's has bought some content time, and so they began this tweak with the help of some in cable television news.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And it became a cause celeb. Unfortunately, maybe M&M's was tweaking all of this, but unfortunately, a lot of people took, I think, what they were doing the wrong way. And first of all, who cares what candies are wearing? I'm not sure. But if indeed this is all leading up to something in the Super Bowl, it is a tremendous marketing ploy by Mars and Mars Candies. Standing by is somebody who understands this game inside out. He is the founding partner of Elasticity. It's a full-service marketing agency. Handles PR and branding. Clients are coast-to-coast for Elasticity. And their PR and branding expert, Brian Cross. Brian, how are you on this glorious Saturday?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, Ken.
I'm glad you're here. Now, I want to get to this M&M's thing in a second, but you know, we got a rather large football game that our local team's going to be involved in tomorrow with the Kansas City Chiefs. And it got to me thinking, I'm glad you're on here today, because I think the most protected brand in the entire planet of brands is the National Football League. It seems like they have 32 individual owners and a commissioner that will do anything to protect the brand. Are they, in your mind, one of the great defenders of brand And can other companies take a page from what they're doing?
Well, I think the NFL has. So the NFL is a brand. Yes, absolutely. I think that there's some missteps that they've done. But even within the NFL is the Dallas Cowboys, which is arguably the most valuable brand in the world right now. So you have the NFL as the shell, but yeah, the Dallas Cowboys have done a fantastic job. And you know, woe is them for not being in the Super Bowl since the early 90s. So go Bengals. But yeah, no, they've maintained that brand image even in the a lack of playoff experience.
By the way, you're based in St. Louis, which unfortunately is about as far away from professional football as you can get these days. Who do you people root for in St. Louis?
So it's an interesting story. So a lot of St. Louisans. So when Kansas City was one of the votes for having them removed from St. Louis, and the day after Chiefs ownership came into the St. Louis market and flooded all the airwaves with, hey, we're now Missouri's, you know, hometown team. Come on over to the Chiefs, selling tickets and merchandise. But so I would say half of St. Louis votes for Kansas City. But I think the other half, their alliances lay in other areas. And we have an office in Dallas, and I have a lot of family there. So the Cowboys have kind of become who we root for in my household. And didn't quite make it.
No, you got to, yeah. But so let me get this straight. Chiefs ownership basically packed the van so the Rams could move back out to California. And the next day they're in St. Louis telling everybody, hey, come root for us now. Literally, the fox stole from the hen house and then went back to the hen house and said, hey, I'm not that bad. Is that what happened?
I'm sure there are other factors, but that's how I tell it to my kids.
Oh, man. All right. So this whole thing with M&Ms, it sounds like it's leading up to some big, explosive ad or something that's going on when the Super Bowl hits here in a couple of weeks. They now have Maya Rudolph, a Saturday Night Live veteran, who's going to be their new spokesperson and not these candies that talk. Anytime something like this happens, and it did happen here, I guess about a week ago, my radar goes up because nothing ever appears as it seems. Did it seem that way to you, that it might have been much ado about nothing?
You know, I've gone over this because yes, you know, the Super Bowl is coming, and everyone, you know, we've been built up to believe there's stunts and things, and it's the perfect time to launch new things. So you look into it, but I think what we're seeing here is a misstep on behalf of Mars. I think that they thought that they could update and tweak some of their candy spokespeople. I think that they attempted, maybe a little half-heartedly, to make them more, you know, what do you want to say, woke or with the times or just updated, contemporary, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
But I think that they tried to make it seem as if it was on behalf of DE&I efforts, and that fell flat. That caused the fervor. And I think that what they ended up doing is shelving them for something else. And so I don't think that there's going to be a surprise. We're bringing the candies back. We told you they're going away, but they're back now at the Super Bowl. I think what we have here is they went, oh shoot, this isn't working. And then they started looking around, and then it's like, okay, well, we need to figure out, let's do away with the candies altogether. Let's do a regular spokesperson. And Maya Rudolph, I know that she's, announced as a Saturday Night Live alumni, but she is coming off of a really successful first season on Apple Plus, Loot, a very, very, very fun, popular show. So she's got this new show she's just coming off of. She was the breakout star. And hey, you know, even though it's not a big stunt at Super Bowl, there's no better time to launch something than Super Bowl time. So I think you sort of have this, you know, the fervor around the candies is growing too much, and Maya Rudolph is hot. We got the Super Bowl, and all three of those things came to a let's make the change now.
So you don't think this was designed? This was a misstep by Mars. Which, if indeed that's true, it's interesting. It would almost fall into the same thing to what's been going on with some other major corporations. Disney comes immediately to mind. But I heard an interesting theory. I don't know if it if it's anything but a theory. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the topics was this, and it's how the CEOs wind up at companies. They're beholden to various people when they get there, not the least of which are asset managers and people like that. And they can make decisions like this, knowing fully well that their tenure at these companies is very short-lived, that they might be gone inside of 24 months. Certainly the guy at Disney was gone inside of a year, and that they can move on to the next company without really feeling the after effects. Do you think that has anything to do with the way corporate structures are anymore, that there really isn't a lot of long-tenured CEOs at companies anymore? Does that take hold with you at all?
It's really funny, because if you talk about the Disney example, that yes, that the CEO was outed in under a year, but they brought the old CEO back. So then you go, well, what is tenure when you're bringing the old guy back?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Disney, you know, I think that they had some big ideas, big thoughts, but I think that the fervor with the internal staff coming in and sort of forcing them to make some moves that then got widely ridiculed on the internet and in the media and things like that, and their profits are down and things like that. So if I come back to your original question, is the lifespan of a CEO shorter these days? Yes, absolutely. And I think it's more along the lines of the expectations are so high. You know, we're still in this culture of, hey, I'm going to bring in a new CEO and he's going to double profits in 6 months. Yeah, and right. Then when they don't do that, they're like, right. You're terrible. You got to get out of here.
Board kicks him out at that point. But I mean, this is kind of like, as the old line in the movie Network, you're messing with the primal forces of nature. I mean, why would M&M's want to do that? I mean, they're, I would think they're one of the leading candy companies in America. Mars is a giant brand. M&M's, there hasn't been a person on this planet that hasn't eaten M&M's at some point. Some are addicted to them. I mean, why would you even walk that plank? Who are you trying to keep happy with that?
So this is speculation, but based on many, many years of experience in those rooms. My guess is that somebody came in the room and they showed the data, and they didn't look at the overall picture. They just looked at the data, and the data said, yes, everybody eats M&Ms, but the younger generation, disproportionately over every other of our key demographics, are buying the candy more than anybody else. So we need to appeal to them. So then the marketing people come in, they're like, okay, well, all the young kids are woke these days, and we need to, you know, we can't be selling candy, you know, with one of our spokespersons in 1970s go-go boots. So let's update our candy and make them kind of cool and appeal to the younger market. And they went and they tried to do that, and they failed. And that's why I keep coming back to, I think this is a misstep and a failure, because the cost to take down, I mean, M&M's, every package, like you said, it's everywhere. So to change all packaging, to get the spokes candies off, to change every one of your corporate stores, to take down all the money that you put into all of the TV advertisements that they have and switch that up with a new spokesperson, Maya Rudolph, that's a lot of money.
That's
more than, I think I've got a good stunt that I'm going to pull at the Super Bowl. That's a major, major decision, which is intriguing, because that tells you, if you look at this, you have to sit down and go, corporations are there to make money. At the end of the day, whether we want to say they're woke or they're this or they're that, at the end of the day, they need to make money for their shareholders that are out. We're talking about this is how CEOs keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. So you sit down and you think about that and you go, okay, somebody, you know, because a switching a spokesperson, I mean, this could be 100. I mean, this could literally be 9 figures. So somebody said the damage to keeping our spokes candies in the position that we changed them into is worse than the 9 figures it's going to cost to take them all down and bring Maya Rudolph in. So that, I think that tells you what kind of damage a misstep could cost if you, you know, kind of mess around and be inauthentic with your target audience.
Well, I hope whoever did that no longer works for Mars Candy. I mean, it's absolutely staggering. You and I have had a lot of conversations about marketing, branding, and trying to change things that really and truly aren't going to change the course of your business all that much. I mean, regardless of what the age is of people that consume M&Ms, I don't think they're going to stop eating M&Ms because the yellow M&M had heels on as opposed to flats. I don't, I just, it, it's, To me, that's just somebody in charge that's not in charge and listening to all voices and not being able to hear any of them. It's staggering. Well, I thought this was going to be something big for the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks. It just sounds like somebody fell into a giant pool of poop is what it sounds like.
Now, of course, after we do this and I lay myself out as an expert, and then there's this giant candy reveal at the Super Bowl, I'll never be on your show again.
Brian Cross, you're always welcomed on here. He is at Elasticity, and you can find that group at goelastic.com. Brian, stay well. I say this all the time, but I mean it. We need to hear your voice. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you having me on again, Ken. Thank you.
There he is. Yeah, why would you do that? If it's not something that is a designed strategy, why would you do it? Just absolutely stupid. 1253, Ken Brew. This is the Saturday Orange and Black Preview. Pella Windows is presenting this. Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details on 700 WLW.
Our nation is blessed with great plains, mighty rivers, and towering mountains. Our nation is blessed with the nightly sound of the wolf, songbirds in the morning, and Bill Cunningham in the afternoon. Bill Cunningham, Monday at noon on 700 WLW.
If it's time for you to buy or sell a home, you need somebody by your side that can help you navigate the process. It is a dicey, dicey process in this day and age. Mortgages, home values, assessments, things like that. You need to find that steady hand at Hoding Realtors. And if you call Hoding right now, they will give you a free market analysis of your home. You will know exactly what it is worth. All of the upgrades you've put in, what the comps are, what the real sale price is of other homes in your area. Call Hoding right now. An agent will be there to help you like that. 513-451-4800. 513-451-4800. Or on the internet, hoding.com.
Furnace problems? Get them fixed and get comfortable with Logan.
Already started Bible in a Year with Jack Graham.
This podcast was created to help you solidify your faith as you experience the story of the Bible through live action recordings and emotional orchestral music.
Listen to Bible in a Year with Jack Graham on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know the team we're playing. We've played them a bunch.
This is the 700 WLW Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati Orange and Black Preview.
They're going to be studying that all three of these games just like we are. You know, we're going to have to be ready for anything.
Pella Windows and Doors. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. Now your host, Ken Brew, on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
700 WLW. Welcome back to the Orange and Black Playoff Preview. Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati presents this Pella Now, Pay Later. Come from the city, 200 years old. We take it all, Sonny Mormon, one of the great treasures in the Greater Cincinnati area. Had this song out in 1989. It is so timely now. Orange and Black are back. Back in 1989, while his song was resonating throughout the tri-state, there was a man who suited up for the Cincinnati Bengals. Someone who rode in from the plains of Texas, across the great Midwest, past the cornfields and grain, straight out of Texas Tech University, from Lubbock, Texas, home to so many great talent like Buddy Holly. But this man arrived in Cincinnati. He was charged with one thing: keep the quarterback clean. And he did it. Not once, not twice, but every single day that he was on the field. I speak today of the magnificent Bengal. And we speak now of that man who gave us so much to cheer about back in 1988. And that would be the magnificent Bengal himself, Joe Walter. Joe, how are you on this glorious Saturday?
Wow, Big Ken, what an introduction. Holy moly, I should have recorded that. Can I get a recording of that?
Yeah, I'll put it on your like your phone or something like that. You know, that'd be great. Yeah. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Now, listen, I was mesmerized, hypnotized, and lobotomized by what happened with the Bengals offensive line last week. Three guys in there that didn't start, one guy that was this side of a bust, Jackson Carmen, and all of a sudden, they go up to Buffalo in the elements up there, and they look like they could start for any NFL team. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, you got to give a lot of kudos to Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach. I thought he did a really good job getting these guys prepared. But at the same time, it's, you know, they've got this mantra, next guy in, right? And, you know, the way they played, they held their poise. I don't even, we may have had one offside penalty, which was crazy to me because, like everybody else, I thought, oh, that's going to be the thing. You know, Buffalo's a loud stadium. You know, it's going to be hard to play in. And they handled everything really great, especially Carmen Jackson. I mean, what a game.
Yeah.
And I think he's in his natural position, left tackle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he looked like somebody that could play this game at that position for a very long time. The elements were bad. Well, the elements are like right. that, and I know you've played in situations like that before. Does it favor the offense? And this is why. Offense is action. Defense is reaction. And I think with that kind of playing surface, I think it would favor the team that had the ball, the team that is acting as opposed to reacting. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right to an extent. You know, as an offensive lineman, if you're passing, you're reacting now, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to keep your feet, and you don't know where they're going. I think it slowed them down a little bit. But really, watching that game, there wasn't a lot of guys slipping and falling and all that. So I don't know if that was the traction was a real big thing for that game.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we just outplayed them all the way across the board.
Yeah. No, and obviously, if what I said was true, it would also apply to the other part of the equation when Buffalo had the ball, and it certainly didn't happen there. I thought Cincinnati won the line of scrimmage. Football hasn't changed since they had leather helmets. You win the line of scrimmage, you win the game, and they did that. Now, this is a different deal coming up here tomorrow. I tend to think Kansas City defensively, despite their secondary, which has been a little porous, I think their front seven is very, very good. I mean, you're talking about Chris Jones, although he hasn't had a sack in the playoffs in his career. This is a really good player. Frank Clark, a really good player. Their linebackers, Willie Gay, terrific player. I'm wondering, as you look at them defensively, what do they offer that might be a problem for Cincinnati?
I think they're much more aggressive up front than Buffalo. Buffalo is a different team. I just lost the name of the linebacker that got hurt, blew the knee out, just lost it, that came from Denver.
You're not thinking about Epinesa, are you? No, it's someone else.
No, the defensive end that came from Denver, I just lost his name. Anyway, they're a much different team. Kansas City's got some horses up front. I mean, Clark has, five or six sacks in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Since they've been playing, and Jones doesn't, like you alluded to.
Yeah.
They're just a very aggressive front, and we've got our work come out. It's a totally different front than what we faced last week, a totally different stadium, much louder than Buffalo. So this is going to be an interesting match between the two lines and the coordinators and how they get things done. Burrow's got to get the ball out quick. As you said, I don't think their secondary cannot match up with our receiving core. No way.
No.
We've just got to give Burrow some time and we'll be good.
Well, you know, if you're Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, you know that if you just line up nose to nose, it's not going to work. Now, the last three have gone the Bengals' way. They're all 3-point games. Every one of those games spun off of big plays. In some cases, Eli Apple and stopping that touchdown right before halftime in the AFC Championship game, big play. The strip, Jermaine Pratt, Sola. And you know these are close games. How much do you, I'm talking about defensively, when Cincinnati has the ball, how much does Kansas City change? Because it seems like it's not anything their defense didn't do. It seems like that the Bengals' defense just made big plays in those games.
Yeah, and the defense have made big plays in all the games in the playoffs, if you really think about it. There's been one big play in every game. So, you know, we've got a really good defense. Our offense just has to continue to do what they do. We've got so many weapons, and if I remember correctly, I don't think Hayden Hurst even played in the last game when we played him. So that adds another weapon for us offensively.
Yeah.
You know, it's what they say. They've got to play us, and we've got the weapons. And if the offensive line can hold up and give Burrow that extra second, it could be a long day for Kansas City this week.
How does Cincinnati – I thought they were brilliant. I thought Callahan was brilliant last week in the way he used Jamar Chase, the motions in the backfield. He's just making that secondary just kind of clutch a little bit. He can't come in with the same thing this week. I kind of think, even though if you look at the stats, that in all of these games, Jamar Chase really hasn't that game against Kansas City in the regular season last year, Chase had 266 yards of receiving. Does their game plan, what does Callahan do in this game to get Chase back to where he was in that game a year ago, January? I don't know if he's going to drop 266 on that defense, but what can he do with Chase this week, knowing full well that Kansas City saw that tape from last week's game and what they were doing with Chase and all that motion stuff? What would you do with him?
I think you've got to continue to do what you do. You know, he's not going to have those 200-yard games every game, right? So it's going to be really how everything else unfolds across the board with the rest of the receiving corps, because you know they're going to try to take away everything deep. They're going to try to keep everything in front. So you got to hurt him up front like we did last week, and that's going to open everything up for Chase. If Chase has to be that decoy, he's got to be that decoy for us, which you did a great job last week.
Yeah.
But really, I would hate to be a defensive coordinator trying to figure out how to stop this whole offense, right? Yeah. Burrow is playing at such a high level. We talked about this yesterday with Lapham and Horde on the Pep Rally show, You know, we talked about it, and Burrow is a much different quarterback this year than he was when we played Kansas City in the AFC Championship last year. He's much more poised in there. Of course, this team has never been nervous about a game. They're just always the guys, which is amazing to me to watch, right? But I just think he just grasps everything that's going on the field, what the defense is trying to do to him, and he's going to get it to the receiver that's open and the right guy every time. And I think with Chase, his time is going to come, and I think he knows that, as all the receivers do.
The Magnificent Bengal. Joe Walter, our guest here on 700 WLW, 63 out of Texas Tech. Buddy Holly's big out in Lubbock, isn't he?
He is big in Lubbock, time. Yep. Yeah, museum and everything there.
I know. Yeah. I got to get out there and see that. All right, but over and above that, let's just say you're Orlando Brown. You're the left tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs, or Andrew Wiley. You're the right tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
The middle of that offensive line is good. Joe Tooney, who didn't play here back in December, local kid, left guard. Center's Creed Humphrey, big farm kid.
Right
guard, Trey Smith, terrific blocker. Let's just say you're one of those tackles. You're Orlando, you're Andrew, whoever it is. You know that everything is on you, because your quarterback is at best going to be 70%, maybe not even that. What do you do? What do you do? Do you do anything differently with blocking schemes this week, knowing that you can't let it go?
But if you think of last week, they ran the ball. That offensive line took over and they just started moving their defensive lining to run the ball. Now, I think our defensive front is better than what the Jaguars have. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I think DJ Reader and DJ Hill are playing some really good ball interior. And our defensive ends are really good, too. So, you know, I think they've got to do what they run. They got to get the run game started. And, you know, with Pacheco, and he, you know, if they can get him going, it could be a long day for us. I think they've got to run the ball. I think on our side, we've got to be very good with our schemes on the defensive side. And if you're going to drop a guy back to spy Mahomes, let him run, you know, force away all the throw lanes. Make him run and go hit him. He's not going to be able to take the hits like he did before he got hurt. And it's not going to be as easy in 15-degree weather to be running either.
Yeah. I have this wild theory. And I have a, Joe, you might not know this. I have a lot of wild theories. I got a lot of time to think now. You know, I'm not working
full
time.
I know that about you, Ken. I know that all about you.
Right, right. So here's my theory. Because that line in Kansas City is going to be so hypersensitive of not anyone getting to their injured quarterback, I think we may see quite a few holding penalties early in that game against that line. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
No, not at all. That could be the case, right? And you got the scientist on the other side coming up with different blitzes and different looks to confuse Mahomes and that offensive line. And so I think you are going to see some penalties. I think you're going to see holding penalties, especially the way our guys play and put pressure on the outside. And, you know, I'm more excited to see how the coordinators and the way they're preparing each, you know, series and what they're doing different. That matchup is really intriguing to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. You were thinking of Von Miller, I think, the linebacker.
Von Miller.
I would.
I had it on the tip of my tongue. I just couldn't get it out there. Von Miller.
Who was the hardest? Who did just absolutely gave you fits when you played, by the way?
What, you know, everybody was different. Everybody gave me fits, right? But I think the one guy that really was.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
That thorn in my side was William Fuller. Ooh. He played for the Oilers and then went to the Eagles. But when he was with the Oilers and we played them, you know, twice a year, he was kind of a shorter Reggie White, stockier. He had that club move. He, you know, he was low center of gravity, which was always tough because he was 6 foot, 6'1". He wasn't a great big guy, but just really strong. And he got into my crawl a couple of times. That was the one guy that I struggled with.
Who did you own? Who did you know before the game was even going to begin? I got this guy.
I don't think I ever knew who I had.
Oh, stop it now. There had to be somebody.
No, you know what? Everybody was different. And I prepared the same for everybody. You know, I played Howie Long, Reggie White. I played against some really good players. Mm-hmm. And everybody was just different. And so, you know, I never really thought that I owned it. I would go in with some confidence. I was never scared of anybody. I was puckered quite a bit, but I was never scared. but you know, I played against some great guys, and so you had to prepare differently each week.
Well, you were
How
the
was
mag-
that for a screwed up
no,
answer.
No, that's a good answer. You didn't mess it. You didn't tick anybody off. That was a good answer, Joe. That was a good answer. Well, I appreciate the insight. You and I are going to have the same perspective tomorrow. We'll be on our couch, and that's the safest place to be, I think, tomorrow at 6:30. And we'll visit at some point down the road. But thanks for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. You are the magnificent.
No problem. Baby. Thank you for having me.
There he is. Thank you, Joe. Joe Walter. Nobody played it better than he did. Nobody. Guarantee, as they say down in Louisiana. I don't know why he chose Louisiana. He's from Texas. I'm not. 123 News Radio 700 WLW.
Heading to Kansas City for the big game? Be sure to take us along and get all of our orange and black coverage. Listen to the 700 WLW live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
It is a big day at Little Miami Brewing today. It's always a big day at Little Miami Brewing because if you want the best craft beers on the planet, you need to go to Little Miami Brewing. It's in the heart of downtown historic Milford. It's right on the Little Miami River. I was just there a couple of nights ago. Went out with our friends Dirk and Lori, sat there, had a great perch. Games were on television. They have great craft beers, great pizzas, and I'm telling you, if you want to quench your thirst, if you want to start pre-gaming today, this is the place you need to go. Great selection. Smoke on the water. It's got a smoky porter taste to it. Pinata. I always like that. It's light with a little jalapeno infused into it. Go down there. Bring friends. See family. Have a great time. Little Miami Brewing in the heart of downtown historic Milford.
You've created a cozy home retreat. Now let Carrier provide the quiet, efficient heating you can depend on all
the Saturday Orange and Black playoff preview. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Greater Cincinnati. Pella now, pay later. Visit PellaWindowsCincinnati.com for details. Well now, 33 years ago today, the album that spawned this hit went to number one. You know who this is, right? Paula Abdul, Forever Your Girl. This song straight up went to number one, straight up. Written by a dude named Elliot Wolf. Keyboard player. Sounds like horns that are playing. You know the horn riff? It's not. It's a keyboard. And the guy that wrote it, Elliot Wolf, on the keys. Oh. And this was off Paula Abdul's debut album. It was a huge, huge hit. It was released in June of 1988. Now, this is amazing. It reached number one on this date in 1990. It was on Billboard's top 200 album charts for 64 consecutive weeks before it hit number one. Longest time for an album to reach number one in the history of recorded music. Yes, sir. 33 years ago today, number one. As you know, I am passionate about sports and music. Here's something else I'm passionate about. It's what I drive. I drive BMWs from the BMW store right here in Cincinnati. Do you know there are over 350 BMW centers in the United States, but there is only one BMW store? They have great door-to-door customer experience, sales, and service. I was in there this past week for a service on my X3. Matt took care of me. Matt's your guy when you go in there. Just ask for Matt. BMW store is just 10 minutes north of Cincinnati. It's off I-71. I've said this many times. I will say it again. If you are riding through life, you might as well ride in luxury, which you will always find at the BMW store. There you go. You know what? It's just that kind of day because we're getting ready for UC against Houston. I'm going to pop up one of these, give you one. See what we got here. Oh, that's good. You didn't tell me it was hazy. You didn't mention that at all, brother.
Pop a top again.
You tell him, AJ. I'm listening.
I've just got time for one more round.
Set him up.
Set him up, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down.
Some other fool sit down. Sterling's coming in later on tonight. Oh, okay, that'd be great. Back in tomorrow at 9 a.m., and we will start the countdown to the Bengals and the Chiefs. Stand by. Don't leave your radios. Dan Horde and Terry Nelson are next with the latest and greatest and all the play-by-play action from Houston. Bearcats in Houston straight ahead on 700 WLW.
And he slams.
comes home, a two-hand dunk.
This is Bearcat Warm-Up, brought to you in part by Skyline Chili. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. Woody Sander Ford, where their customers are number one for a reason. And by EverDry. If your basement leaks, call EverDry. It's not dry till it's EverDry. This is UC Basketball from Learfield.
For three, bullseye!
On 700 WLW, the home of the Bearcats.
This afternoon from Houston, Texas, the UC Bearcats will try to upset the third-ranked team in the country as Cincinnati takes on the 19-2 Houston Cougars. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Dan Hort alongside former Bearcats standout Terry Nelson. It's great to have you with us for our coverage of Bearcats basketball today. And T-Nell, it's obviously a big challenge for Cincinnati. These teams played about 3 weeks ago. Houston won by double digits. They've defeated Cincinnati seven consecutive times. But the Cougars have lost twice at home this year. They lost to nationally ranked Alabama, and they lost a week ago to a good but not great Temple team. Give me the single biggest thing a team must do to come in here and beat Houston.
First thing you got to do, Dan, is you got to match their intensity. I mean, you already know that this team is going to play hard from beginning to end. They don't take free throw situations off. They don't take loose balls for granted. They don't take balls that's going out of bounds for granted. They're going to play every possession as if a national championship depended on it. So if you don't have that same mindset, that same level of intensity, you'll find yourself in a close game, and then all of a sudden you're down 10, you're down 20, because they will go on these spurts, because while you keep taking time off, they just continue to grind and get better.
All right, we will get more of T-Nell's keys to the game later on the pregame show, but coming up next, it's today's episode of Tea Time with T-Nell. This is Bearcat Basketball presented by R&L Carriers. Here on News Radio 700 WLW.
Meals on Wheels of Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky deliver more than 1 million meals annually directly to the doors of older adults in our community.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.